Those of us who speak, we don't regularly get to speak on topics that we are experts about. And this is a culture that doesn't like arrogant people and who make claims of knowing a lot about anything. And for me to tell you this morning that I'm an expert on social media, well, let me say this. A few years ago when the faculty was meeting and we were talking about social media, the school encouraged us to each one of the faculty members develop a Twitter account. And so we were told how to do that. And I believe today, I'm not absolutely positive, I believe today I have a Twitter account. This would be my second Twitter account because one day one of the faculty members said, have you looked at your Twitter account lately? And I said, I don't have a Twitter account. They said, yes, you do. I follow you on Twitter. I said, you don't follow me. Well, there were some students who loved me and care about me enough to set up a Twitter account in my name. And they would post things about my life, and they were not ugly. They were not demeaning. They were just humorous kinds of things. And when I went and looked that day, I thought, let them have it. Well, the IT department said, well, if it's not your account, we're going to shut it down. I said, well, it won't bother me. This is the only time I've ever been on it. And so I didn't have a Twitter account. And then someone suggested they were following me on Twitter again, and I said, no, you're not. Someone has loved me enough to set up a second Twitter account for me. So you don't have anything on me. I've got a Twitter account, okay? Now, I will confess that when I started talking to somebody, I said, I would have no idea how to use a Twitter account. I would not know at all what to twit. That's exactly the response I got then. And so for me to tell you that I'm an expert on social media would not be fair. But I can tell you this. I do know some things about God's message. I know some things that are so good that God wants us to be involved in that I could talk to you about that. On the other hand, I know some things that God tells us that are not good for us. And I've studied a little bit about that, and sadly, I've practiced some of those things that God would not want me to be involved in. That would relate to social media. So, in that sense, I'm qualified to speak about at least the part of social media that I want to talk to you about today. You heard read one of the great passages of the Bible that just talks about Christian life. When we talk about being spiritual, what that means is God wants us to behave in a way that's consistent with His will. If you go about life today and you tell the truth, you're being spiritual. If you go about life today and you worship God in spirit and in truth, that's what spiritual is about. It's not about being something that is so mystical and unreal that only a few of us get it. If today you treat people the way they ought to be treated, you talk to them in the way that they ought to be treated, if you today exhibit any of the qualities that God tells you are qualities that are fruit produced by the Spirit of God in our lives, you are a spiritual person to that degree. And so what I want us to think about today is that passage that was talked about for I want us to think about that passage for just a few minutes in terms of just thinking about what God wants from me today. And social media just happens to be the topic. So it would be what God would want from me with regard to social media. And the bottom line is on the screen in front of you. Whatever you do in word or deed, yesterday I went with the Chester County Band to the state band competition. So was I spiritual being in a band competition? We had about a three-hour drive to where we were going, and I was riding with two guys, and our conversation much of the way up there was about spiritual things. We were talking about things that really matter in life. We had a chance to do that. One of those guys I don't have a chance to be with hardly ever. I really have learned to love him. He doesn't have the same faith I do. He differs. And yesterday we had a chance to talk about that. And through my trips with band parents, I had a chance to talk about that. And I appreciate that and I love that. That is what being spiritual is about. It's just about being good, doing good, being who you ought to be wherever you are. If it's at a ball game, if it's at a worship service, it's equally important for us to be spiritually minded. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Now, as we look at verses 12 through 16, this is verse 17, as we look, whatever you do in word or deed, what are we talking about here? What is it that we must be doing? Well, we put on tender mercies. We are compassionate toward people who need our compassion. There are a lot of people in the world today. We mentioned several in our Bible class this morning. We mentioned several in our prayer this morning as Gary led us in our first Sunday of the month prayer about our congregation. We saw and heard and read about, and some of you are in families with people who need your tender mercies. We need to put on kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering. We need to bear with one another. We need to be patient, and we need to put up with each other. Every one of us needs somebody to be patient with us. We need to be forgiving as we bear with one another in love. We also learn to forgive as we put on love. That's one of the things that loving is about. It's about forgiving people. It's not about holding their nose to the stone because they hurt us and they are destroying our lives in some way. It's about helping ourselves by being spiritual, forgiving one another. Let the peace of God rule in your life. This is a great concept for somebody like me who loves sports. Let the peace of God rule in your life. It's like saying, let God's peace be the umpire in your life. When you come to a crossroads in life, if it's dealing with social media, if it's dealing with a friend next door, if it's dealing with a family member, and you have to make a decision, who is to be the umpire? Do I get what I want, or do you get what you want? It's not about that. It's about letting the peace of God make the call in your life. You make a decision that's going to bring about peace and harmony and love, all the things that you see up there. And we do all of these things with gratitude. It's not about reaching back there and patting myself on the back and bragging about how kind and gentle and loving and how much love I've put on. We do it giving thanks that God permits us to be like him. That's what these things are all about. These are all descriptive terms of God himself. And so God wants us to be like him. So whatever we do in word or deed, we do it giving thanks to the Lord. And then let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, for the next few minutes, 30 or 45 minutes probably. I mean, social media is an important topic, isn't it? It deserves more than a sermonette, doesn't it? And so buckle your seatbelt for about the next 30 or 45 minutes, and we'll talk about social media and all that that means to us. You see, some of you are ready to leave now, aren't you? So if you'll give me a little less than 30 minutes to think about what this means with regard to social media, that's where I hope to go. I'm not even aware, and I know this is not all of the sites that we could quote, but these are just some samples that we use a lot. We use Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and LinkedIn and Pinterest and Google Plus, and I don't know what the rest of them are. I couldn't name them. In fact, I could not have named all of these. Somebody asked me when I started talking about what I was going to do. They said, have you ever used Google Plus? I said, what is it? I don't know what it is. I still don't know today exactly what it is, except it is a social media site that people use. And there are many people that use it. Now, as we think about these, here's a quote that was from a study that was done on the use of social media. You need to think about it. If you're on Facebook, if you're on any of these sites and you post things, this statement ought to be important to you. Negative posts just simply produce more negative posts. Have you posted anything about the election? Have you posted anything about the alcohol referendum? Have you posted anything about life, about friends, about love, about relationships, about... Have you posted anything? You see, some of you have. Some of you have. What are those posts about? And what are they like? There are people in this congregation whose feelings have been hurt by other people in this congregation because of posts on social media. Some of it just kind of ugly to them. Some of it's about a racial statement that's made. Some of it might be a demeaning comment about a candidate that you are thinking about voting for. We need to be thoughtful because, you see, negative posts begot more negative ones. But on the other hand, if you are good at positive things on social media, you are going to encourage more positive statements on social media. That's powerful. That's important. It's something we need to think about, because one of the things that we learn is that with smartphones, laptops, iPads, we can use social media in the car, in the bathroom, at a meeting. And students, do we use Twitter in chapel? You see, we get immediate feedback. Some of you may be on social media now. We've got that option. And there are people with iPads and iPhones, and social media pops up. And if it pops up while we are sitting in the middle of a sermon, guess what we do? You know, my phone buzzed, it dinked, it does whatever it does to jerk your chain and say, I've got something for you. And so we look. We have it everywhere. It's all around us. We share instantly information about our opinions. That's what students do in chapel. They make fun of speakers. They compliment speakers. They instantly tell you what they think. And most often, you could probably gauge just by the program what the general tone of the statements are going to be. Some of them are twits. Some of them are tweets. Because some of them are pretty negative and bad, and some of them are pretty sweet and kind and thoughtful. But we get those opinions immediately. We can talk about what we disagree on. When we start throwing all the political garbage out there, and some of it is garbage, we talk so ugly about people, about ideologies, about opinions. We make such negative statements on these kinds of things sometimes, and yet, on the other hand, some of the sweetest people in the world send me notes on Facebook. What a great blessing. I get messages sometimes that are so neat. I get one every now and then that I think of as a twit, but Most of them are really great. But we have right now the opportunity to express those political points of view, religious points of view. And one of the problems is we send pictures. I've been trying to help a family whose child sent pictures of herself in the nude. Her boyfriend sent pictures of himself back to her in the nude. And when her mom saw what was happening, she said, "What's the matter with that? It's just a picture." When we start thinking about what is passed along the lines of social media, there are some serious things that we need to think about. You young folks especially need to think about something that's put out there is out there and you can't take it back. How many athletes do you know have put dumb things on social media? How many jobs have been lost because people have put things on social media? And here we have great things put on social media sometimes. The bottom line here from 1 Corinthians 10:31 is, so whether you eat or drink or get on social media, whatever you do all to the glory of God. That's what we need to be thinking about as we go through our life. Here's just one example. Twitter, this is a quote from a source that says, "Twitter is a powerful business tool that is not going anywhere anytime soon. It has 140 million active worldwide users worldwide, and it's growing daily. People use the tool to communicate their personal and professional brands." You see, a professional brand is going to make you shine and look good, but let me tell you this. When you start putting negative things on there, it gives you a negative brand. This is how people think about you. It's about your character. It's about your attitude. It's about your quality of life. It's about what you think about people and how you think about people. And it's not just this group or the college students. These folks right here, and those folks through the audience that are college students, they put very few of those ugly comments about race, about politics, or any other thing like us adults want to think about. It's us. And I'm talking about older adults, even. We need to be thoughtful. This article said the most dangerous part of social media is that you are giving people, everyone who looks at what you post, you're giving people a glimpse into a slice of your life. This is telling people who you are. It's telling people what you are. Oh, no, it's just a little post. I didn't really mean anything by it. But I'm telling you, it's out there and people are making judgments about you. If you've put beautiful, sweet, great things out there, that's what people are thinking of you. It can be used for that. But here are some things this article says we do so very often with social media. We don't like something, we slander. And we just want to torch people. We want to torch circumstances. We want people to think like we think. And if they don't, something's really badly wrong with them. So we put those things out there. There are some people that write some of the most self-incriminating things you have ever read in your life. They're some of the stupidest. I just started looking through, and I thought about including some of those, but there's so much to say, I didn't want to do that. But people will tell on themselves. They'll get themselves in trouble. They lose their jobs. Inappropriate jokes. You see, it's not me telling that inappropriate joke. It's this part over here in our lives that we call social media. That's responsible. No, if I put an inappropriate joke on social media, it's about me. It's about how I think. It's about how I feel. It's about what I think is appropriate, even if you think it's inappropriate. There are people who use social media to threaten other people, and they threaten violence, and sometimes violence takes place. And people will encourage breaking rules because they will give you all the great reasons in the world for why they ought to be able to do something. Our culture is a general culture of, if I don't agree with it, it ain't a rule for me. It might be a rule for you, but if I don't like it and I don't want it, just talk to the students a little bit about curfew, about required Bible classes, about required attendance in chapel. You talk to the students a little bit, and many of them will say, if I don't like it and I don't agree with it, it ain't a rule for me. So it's an example to consider. Social media can be used for very many good things. You see, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There are people who use social media to put on Christ, if you will. And you see, I'm not talking about some religious act that you think of as a religious act. I'm talking about an act of life. They are kind, and they are gracious, and they are helpful, and they are thoughtful, and they are loving and honest. They are forgiving in their love. They're joyful. They're patient. They're gentle. And they're balanced and under control. You see, we let things like this election get us so unbalanced. I had a person the other day telling me, if anybody, any Christian, he said, votes for this person, he needs to repent and go forward at church. Because of this candidate's character, I listened to the rant for a little while and I said, hey, there would be some people who support the candidate that you're putting down who would say exactly the same thing about the candidate you support. So we start thinking about all of that and we get out of balance, but we can use it to speak in the way that we ought to speak as children of God. Social media can be used for great good. Let me share some brief thoughts with you. Each one of these could be a sermon, but these are just some brief thoughts that you ought to ask yourself. Does social media lead you into sin? The kinds of things that are passed on social media ought not to be seen anywhere. And yet it's out there for lots of people to see. Does it lead you to sin? If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than to lose your whole body thrown into hell. Second thought, does your speech on social media build up people and make them feel better, make them better people because they're reading what you put? Or are you ripping into them? Are you tearing them down? Are you putting them down? Are you trying to get all of your friends opposed to this person or this idea or whatever in an ugly way? You see, we need to be building people up instead of tearing people down. Here's one that those of you that use social media ought to think about. Is it your master? Does it dominate you? Are you one that cannot put your phone down? You can't do anything without your phone because you're afraid it might beep or twit or tweet or whatever you want to say it does for you. And it becomes your master instead of you using it and controlling it yourself. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. God is teaching us about what real slavery is sometimes, and we don't like it. We hate this kind of slavery, but we kind of fall in love with this kind of slavery, and we accept it, and we don't want you calling us slaves to these kinds of things. Do you use social media as a platform to complain about rules, to complain about people, to complain about laws, to complain about, and you can just fill in the blank. Is that one of your primary goals in using social media? You need to think about that, because there's a pretty good book that says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Ah, but you don't know about these people. Well, I don't, but I do know about this. You don't know how ugly these people are in this situation. I don't, but I know about this. And God calls us to be people of peace. Let the peace of God rule in your life. This is becoming a real problem in our culture as studies show us that people are using media interaction to hide themselves, to relate instead of face-to-face relationships. What about learning to love your neighbor? Are they perfect? No, but neither are you. Love your neighbor. God made us for relationships, and increasingly the studies are showing that these relationships take place through technology and can make people less social in real life. We've got all these dating sites. We meet out there, and we fill out all these papers, and we meet the perfect person because we've already read what they put on paper. What need do we have to date and get to know each other and learn about each other, learn about spiritual things? What need do we have for that? We've got all we need to know right here on social media. And what it does is it makes us less social in life. If somebody gets upset with us or we get upset with them, we go to social media. Now, some of you probably need to listen to this. I wish that I could think that there's nobody in this room who doesn't need this message. I hope there's not. But as a counselor, I hear about it all the time. I can tell you people that you would think of as super Christian people who have gotten on Facebook, saw something from an old flame in high school, gotten on there, started talking, they meet, and affair starts. You need to recognize the dangers and the difficulties and the problems. Is it a good thing to pick up relationships? Yes, it is. It can be great. But if you have relationships through social media that are going to bring you and your family, your children, your mom, your dad, if it's going to bring you harm, and especially will harm your relationship with God, get off of social media or start using it for good. And so we need to ask this question. And we cannot overlook this passage that might be, in your judgment, overused. But I don't believe it can be overused. Do not be deceived. Bad company is going to get you because it ruins good morals. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that people use social media to hide. We don't want people knowing us. We don't want people knowing our insecurities. And face to face, I can't tell you what I feel and what I think. But on social media, I can let you have a piece of my mind. Or it might be that I can only tell you that I care about you when I've got my thumbs working. You see, people hide and use social media as a mask. And people really don't know us. Someone said the root of this issue is pride. We want people to think we're cool, we have it all together, when the reality is we're a basket case as we think about the way we look at ourselves. Just humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of other people. Let people know you face to face. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of good people that will love you anyway. I have two conclusions that I would draw. Social media is morally neutral. I've tried to be balanced today in telling you that social media can be a very good thing. But I've also tried to tell you that social media can really get you. It can ruin your life in a number of ways. But the media itself is morally neutral. It's about you. It's about the choices that you make in your life. And at the end of our service, and I really have gone a little longer than you like and a little longer than I like today, but we still want you, if you need to make a choice, to turn life around, whether it's about social media or any other problem that you might have. We call it the Lord's invitation. It's such an important moment for people to think about their lives. And it might not be that you want to walk down this aisle, but you want to make a change. You need to make the change. But it might be that you need to walk down this aisle and say, here's my life. It hasn't been what it needs to be, and I want it to be what God wants it to be. You may feel the need to just repent of sin, or to be baptized into Christ, or to just come home as a child of God. If you have a need, boy, we hope face to face that you'll come as we stand and as we sing.